Good day to you. God bless you. Say welcome to the Shepherd's Chapel. Welcome to this family Bible study hour. Back in our Father's Word, new book today, Book of Romans. This being one of the first doctrinal letters, probably written about 58 to 60 A.D. by Paul. And many people, because Paul had not walked with Christ, Christ still approached him, and he has very good credentials, in as much as he was a scholar of God. But in Acts chapter 9, he was on his road to Damascus to destroy the church there. And Christ struck him down on that road. And finally, after sending him to someone that would help him, Ananias, God said to Ananias in verse 15 of that chapter 9 book of Acts, But the Lord said unto him, Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me, that's Paul, to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. He had a threefold ministry, taught on three levels always. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. Not for his name's sake, but Christ would say for my name's sake. And again, many people will still question Paul, and if you question Paul, you also have to question Peter, one of the greatest of the apostles, because Peter would say in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 15, and account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul, also according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you. He wrote most of the New Testament. That is to say, at the hand of Almighty God, with the Apostle Luke being the scribe, verse 16 of 2 Peter 3, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, as they do also the other scriptures, unto their own destruction. So he has a way of teaching and bringing forth on those three levels whereby a person can really get a look at our Father's Word. Having said that, the book of Romans, one of the doctrinal letters telling you how to be a Christian, how to live a Christian life, that is if you want God's blessings. So having said that, Romans chapter 1, verse 1, and let's go with it. It reads, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called, not volunteered, but called to be an apostle, separated. The word saint means to separate one, okay, unto the gospel of God. That's the good news and God's spell that he places upon people. Called by who? The Holy Spirit, by Christ himself. Verse 2, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures. Throughout the Scriptures, he promised that one would come, that comforter would lead, that comforter would choose. Verse 3, concerning his son Jesus Christ, our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh. Well, where was that in the Old Testament? Isaiah 53. Out of the seed of Jesse would come this one, this sprout that would be the only begotten. Verse 4, and he declared to be the Son of God with power, dunamis, able to get it done, according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. He defeated death. As it is written in 1 Corinthians 15, death, where is your victory? Grave, where is your sting? He doesn't have one. He overcame, he defeated death. Verse 5, by whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name. Through Christ, all gifts of God come forth. You want me to say that again? All gifts are the ability, as Paul had, to teach and to bring forth apostleship. It comes from Christ. It's a gift. It's charisma. That and it all comes from God, and that same dunamis, that power of the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, to be a comfort to all, given in truth. Verse 6. Among whom are ye also the called of Jesus Christ? Why? Because you have got ears to hear, and you listen. Verse 7. To all that be in Rome. Paul had never been there, but he wanted to go. Beloved of God, called to be saints, the holy ones separated and set aside. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is how he opens his letter with these good wishes. Verse 8, first, what is first? First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. And here the word world is cosmos, and it means the natural earth as God created it. And it's important that you latch on to that, because it's going to come up in this chapter, that is natural and that is unnatural. But the cosmos is the natural earth as God created it. You can look at it, you can learn from it. You don't even have to have the Word of God in many cases to see what is right and what is wrong by observing that is natural in this world, not as man has messed with it, but as God created it. And then verse 9, for God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers. I always remember you in prayer when I'm talking to the Father. You see, Paul's father was a Roman, a natural Roman citizen, therefore natural born, and so was Paul, because Paul, from his father, was a citizen of Rome as well. Not purchased, not bought, but natural. Verse 10, making request, if by any means now, at length, I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you. This was his wish, that he could go to Rome. He wanted to go there. Wanted to take the message there. Verse 11, for I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift, to the end you may be established, that the church can be established there. That gift is charisma, a gift from God, whether it be in teaching, preaching, whatever the case may be. The truth especially. Verse 12, that is, that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith, both of you and me. In other words, we can help each other through the presence of the Comforter, that is to say, the Holy Spirit. Why? Because God always lifts, and we can help each other in that respect as witnesses all to the comfort that one brings us from the Scripture, from his doctrine and leadership. Verse 13. Now, I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that oftentimes I purpose to come unto you, but was let hitherto. Something always got in the way. That I might have some fruit among you also, even as among other Gentiles. Now, this word Gentiles, you're going to find it translated both Gentiles and Greeks. It is Hellenist, and it means ethnos, okay? Other, you might say other than Israel, and you would be more correct. Verse 14, I am debtor both to the Greeks, that's the ethnos, and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. Paul was sent to all these, all three levels, remember? We read it there in Acts chapter 9. All three levels, he was sent to judge, no, not to judge, but even if they were barbarians, and even if they were ethnic and had not the message of the resurrection, that he could still teach them and lead them and guide them, that was his responsibility. to both Israel and to the Gentile, or the ethnos. Verse 15. So, as much as is in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. I've got the truth, and Paul was a great scholar. Paul studied at the feet of Gamaliel. He could speak more languages than all the rest. He could speak the Roman language. He could speak Hebrew. He could speak Greek, street Greek, kind of basically more or less, Aramaic. He was quite a scholar and certainly could handle any language or any situation without even an interpreter. Verse 16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone. How many was that again? To everyone that believeth. There is the condition. They've got to believe. To the Jew first, and properly translated would be to the Israel first, and also to the Greek, which is to say the Hellenists, the Gentile, the ethnos. In other words, Christ died for all the children of God, and all children are God's children. And certainly he paid this price for them, that whomsoever will. Verse 17, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. If you have faith in Almighty God, he watches over you. If you have faith in Almighty God, he will always take care of you. Faith is a powerful thing. You must have works to go along with it. But faith is what you can walk by and know that he has his hand upon you. If you follow his instructions, if you do it his way. If you don't, hey, you're out in your own. You made the choice. Nobody else did. Verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness. Not part of it. All ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Those that mock the word, those that go contrary to the word, God knows how to handle that, and his wrath is revealed. I mean, it's not maybe. It's just, if you choose that route, you have a choice. You can take blessings, or you can take his wrath. But don't try to blame somebody else for it. That's why he sent you the letter, so that you know how to have his blessings rather than his wrath. Verse 19, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. In other words, the cosmos by nature itself, it is inborn that you can tell what is right from wrong just by looking at nature. That's not like having the word of God or the truth, but looking at nature, you know how God created it. Therefore, you don't have to go against nature. Verse 20. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen. His work in creation, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. In other words, if they had never heard the word of God, if you pay attention to nature, you know what's wrong. You know what when you do something wrong. You know when you offend nature, you're going to do harm to people and hurt even to yourself. So you don't simply, you learn from God's own creation. In other words, even without the word, you don't have an excuse. You should know better than to be ungodly. Verse 21. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations. Their imaginations went void of God's thoughts, and their foolish heart was darkened, and they became dark. You know who's the prince of darkness, don't you? It's Satan, of course. Satan has a way of dealing with people and making them think everything is just lovely, just do it his way. Satan loves company in hell. 22. Professing themselves to be wise, they become fools. And so they do. They hurt themselves by going against nature. They harm themselves and would tell you it's all okay. Well, it isn't. It's against nature. It's against God's plan. You cannot have God's blessings and be participating in receiving wrath at the same time. Verse 23. And change the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, into birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. This word image is icon. They make something shaped like a god and worship it, even if it's a part of a man, which many used as a god or a icon to worship, or a god on this corner or that corner away from the living God. And they begin to worship creation more than the Creator. And that won't cut it. Okay, that will not get it done. That's one of the greatest sins you can do. Verse 24. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanliness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. They destroy each other. Destroy immune systems. Destroy each other, going against nature. 25. Who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. Do you know what it's getting at here? Who is the Creator? The Creator is Yahweh, the living God. Who is this creature that they most often worship? It's that cherubim called Tyrus, or as we call Satan, Lucifer, the son of perdition, whatever name you wish to call him. They would rather follow along with him. Love that darkness. Love that way of Satan, and at the same time sing of praises to God. Not our God, not the living God are they singing to. But God himself says in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, if they want to believe a lie, I will send them delusion. I'll help them out. If they really want to be deceived and go the way of perversion, I'll help them out a bunch. And certainly he does. Verse 26, for this cause, God gave them up unto vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use unto that which is against nature. It was not natural. 27, and likewise, also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. And certainly, if you want to be destroyed, you go ahead. Hey, you know, we are teachers of God's word. We don't judge anybody. But we are responsible to teach truth, to know what keeps you in God's blessings and how you fall away. When you make your choice, if you choose to go with those darkness, hey, have a good trip. You know, that's your choice. Totally your will. You go for it. But at the same time, as teachers, we must tell you what happens when you do. Verse 28, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, they don't care, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. And certainly, where is this? Where did God warn us of this before? Well, we could take the book of Leviticus, and we could go with the Leviticus verse 20, chapter 20, and we could pick it up with verse 13. What does it say here in Leviticus? The law. If a man also lie with mankind as he lieth with a woman, both of them have committed an abomination. They shall surely be put to death. Their blood shall be upon them. It's their choice. If that's your choice, hey, have a good trip. You know, we could also go with 18:22 in this same book of Leviticus. 18:22, thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind. It is an abomination. It's an abomination to the living God. And you that like to play church and say everything is, we the church should recognize this, and we should even recognize same-sex marriage. Well, do you know what God's Word says about this? In Deuteronomy chapter 23, we have in verse 16, he shall dwell with thee even among you in this place. Okay, verse 17, listen carefully. There shall be no whore of the daughters of Israel. These are temple people that claim to be temple harlots. Nor a sodomite of the sons of Israel. That's a male prostitute. 18. Thou shalt not bring the hire of a whore or the price of a dog. And that, a dog, this is not an animal, the dog. This is a male prostitute by the fashion in which he serves. Unto the house of the Lord thy God. You will keep them out of the church, out of your nation. Thy God, for any vow, for even both these are abominations unto the Lord thy God. You can't say God bless America and we approve all these things. You can't say God blesses us and we participate in perversion. You're not going to have received God's blessings. It's His Word. Now, like I said, I'm not judging anyone. You make your own mind up to live your life, and hey, you'll never, I will still speak to you. I will still respect you as long as you don't harm others in your downfall. But it's your choice. You're on your own. You choose what, it is only my duty to warn you what the Heavenly Father says, and if you want to be blessed, you will do it God's way. Otherwise, I'm sorry, you're in a heap of hurt. And God makes that pretty plain. And what is really sad, you know, to bring them into the nation and into the military is one thing. But for the church to legalize and participate in the abominable thing is beyond me. He continues on to make it very clear. Verse 29 then, back in this first chapter of Romans. Being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, and whispers. And whispers, I think, are sometimes the worst kind. Did you hear about so-and-so? Did you know about so-and-so? And trying to justify their own means and their own ways. Verse 30, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud. Pride is what took Satan down in the beginning in Ezekiel chapter 28. Boasters, inventors of evil things. If we'll think of different ways. Yep, we can plan up something evil. That darkness just grows and glows. Disobedient to parents and ignoring parents, not listening to them. Once they get caught up in the perversion of the darkness that comes upon this earth, when you study with the creation more than the creator. That is to say, when you study and choose Satan's path, which is perverted, over the uprightness of God and his blessings. You know, God goes way out of his way to do good to those that love him and those that follow him. That's why they are blessed. And that's why that they prosper. That's why when you really do it his way, that power of that comforter enjoys being with you. But when you go the way of the creation, Satan, rather than Christ, you're in a heap of hurt, friend. And you know, you don't have to be all that intelligent to understand that. Like God said, coming out the gate here, there's a lot of people may not even believe the word, but you can believe the creation when you look out there. You can look at the birds and the cattle, the wild animals, and you see them do what is right, basically through the skills of survival and taking care of each other. You don't see any perversion in the wild, in the animals. And people can learn from that. And that's what God is stressing here. Even if you don't believe the word, then believe life itself. Some things are right and some things are wrong. And you choose the things that are wrong and you're going to be in just one big heap of hurt. Verse 31, to continue, without understanding, and certainly not taking any opportunity to read and understand the simplicity in which God explains this to us, to do what's right so that you receive those blessings. Covenant breakers, I mean, you can't depend on them in marriage. You can't depend on them in the covenant that God made with all of us. To be blessed with it, they will break it every time. Why? They won't keep their word. Without natural affection. Oh, no. They can't go with what is natural, the natural love of Almighty God that he places in man, that he places in woman, that he places in nature itself. Just what is natural. No, they got to pervert it. Go against it. Bringing disease upon the world. Implacable, unmerciful. And when you do that to your people without taking the time to see where the blessings of God flow from, to walk in faith and to live by faith, to have the blessings of God in your family, respectable, honorable, and gain eternal life rather than a trip to hell and disgrace. You know, again, it is not my duty to judge anyone. It is my duty to teach what these scriptures say, because they are the actual feelings and record of our Heavenly Father in both the Old and the New Testament. And he gave Paul plenty of credentials. That's why he established that quite well when we began the book. That he knows what he's talking about. So, but it is strictly your choice. And you will not hear anything from me after that. Once you pick that way and you go that way, hey, you're on your own. I'm not going to judge you. But I tell you who will, and he promises he will, that's the living God. It is a sin for Christians to judge people. We're not going to. When you pick your route and when you go that way, you're on your own. And you're the one that made the choice. You can't blame it on anyone else but yourself. But you separate yourself from the living God, the creator of all things, because he considers perversion to be an abomination. So that's up to you. Now, many people will say, well, it's just natural for me this way. Well, it's not. But if that's the way you choose, if that's the way you want, I am not going to judge you. You're on your own. And And hopefully you can live peacefully while you live, because you won't be living very long, probably. But be that as it may, you have the right and the freedom in a land of the free to make that choice. It's yours. And hopefully you're big enough and man enough or woman enough that you can live with that and take the responsibility for it and say, this is what I choose. And would not belittle me for teaching truth, which it's all right with me. I'm going to teach the truth one way or the other. So it doesn't matter to me. But I do love you, and I love all of God's children, and it is my responsibility to teach truth. And then after that, you're on your own. And God honors those that follow his truth. Verse 32 to complete chapter 1. Who, knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, you're not going to have eternal life, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. They applaud each other, and that's their right. I have no problem with them applauding each other, marching together, shouting together. If that's what you choose, hey, if I were you, I would really enjoy it while I could. Because he's sitting on the throne of God is still on the throne, and he is very much in control. I do not teach this chapter 1 in Romans to offend anyone, but to save lives and to give people the truth whereby they can have a healthy, normal life with the blessings of Almighty God. And most of all, that they faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith, which brings you eternal life, whereby you can live forever in a perfect world that is to come. It's your choice. That's what I want for you, if you make that choice. But whatever you do, don't try to bring the other upon an innocent world, a world that God loves and that God created. And we that try to walk that walk, may God bless each and every one. It is difficult to hear one approve of abomination and then say, may God bless America. Because God has already said, for that particular part, I won't bless you. Because I consider it to be an abomination. So many times bad things befall different people for different reasons. You can always find out why in the Word of God. God always blesses those that love him and that follow him. It always pays great dividends, and you're rich in truth and freedom and goodwill. Again, this is not to offend anyone, but to teach God's truth, how he feels and how he sees things. Okay. That ends chapter 1. Listen a moment, won't you please?
The Mark of the Beast on CD is our free introductory offer to you. What is the Mark of the Beast? Many false teachers would have you believe it will be a tattoo on your forehead or a computer chip implanted under your skin. It is getting late in the game. You need to know what the Mark of the Beast is. As it's written in Revelation chapter 13, verse 8, many will be deceived. There is no need for you to be deceived. Christ said in Mark 13:23, "Behold, I have foretold you all things." Jesus indeed told us how not to be deceived, and Pastor Arnold Murray takes you on a step-by-step study of God's Word concerning this critical subject, the Mark of the Beast. The telephone call is free. The CD is free. We don't even ask for the shipping and handling. It is free as well. All you need to do is call 800-643-4645 to request your one-time, one-per-household copy of The Mark of the Beast. You may also request your free CD by mailing your request to Shepherd's Chapel, Post Office Box 416, Gravette, Arkansas 72736. Don't be deceived by Satan.
And there we are back again. Let's have the 800 number, please. 1-800-643-4645. That number is good from Puerto Rico, throughout the U.S., Alaska, Hawaii, all over Canada. If the Spirit moves, you got a question, share it. Won't you do that? Please never ask a question about a particular reverend or denomination. We're just not going to judge people, anybody. We teach God's Word, and it's yours to do with as you so choose. God is judge. We are not going to judge anyone. Those of you that listen by shortwave around the world, it's always a pleasure hearing from you, and your announcer at the end of the hour will give you our mailing address. Always a pleasure. Now, got a prayer request. You do not need the number. You don't need an address. Why? God knows what you're thinking right now. He's a mind reader. You don't even have to say it out loud. But do talk to Him through your mind or verbally. Doesn't matter. Nobody can stop you from praying. So let Him know. What is it He mainly wants from you? Hosea 6:6. I do not want your burnt offerings. I want your love. That's your grace. Well, send that love to Him. It pays great dividends. Listen to His word. Obey Him and love Him. It pays great dividends. Father, around the globe we come. We ask that You lead, guide, direct, Father. Touch, heal in Yeshua's precious name. Thank You, Father. Amen. Okay, and question time. We're going to go with Linda from Texas. And you're so very welcome. Where in the Bible does it talk about Israel becoming a nation again to start the clock ticking on the last generation? That being the generation of the fig tree, you'll find it in Jeremiah chapter 24, verse 6. Jeremiah 24, verse 6. Caution, caution. Remember when you began reading Jeremiah 24, there are two baskets of figs. One is very good, and the other is very bad. Make sure you know your figs. That's what learning the parable of the fig tree is about. Peggy from North Carolina. My name is Peggy, and I just want to tell you that I receive so much blessings from your sermon. Well, thank you. It's God's word. It'll do it for us. I would like to ask you to pray for me and my family. My son just finished boot camp at Parris Island, South Carolina, for the Marine Corps. He graduates as a PFC. I am so proud of him and have a lot of respect for servicemen and women. My oldest brother was a Marine and my daddy was in the Army. I respect you being a Marine too. Well, thank you. It was serving the nation is a great privilege. I have learned a lot from my daddy, my brother, my son, and you. Discipline is a beautiful thing. I would like to hear some scripture on how to keep my faith strong. Well, you're so very welcome, and thank you for the comment, and congratulations to your son from making it through Parris Island. He's now a man. He's now a Marine. Okay, you know, I think today's lecture would be a good one. We walk by faith. But a scripture that is so strengthening to me and to many others is 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. God will always see you, give you a way out. Anita from Texas, please explain to me the way the time for Antichrist is shortened to 5.5 months. Not 5.5, 5 months, okay? Somehow I have missed it. Is the time in... Okay, it's the time of the locust, true. But you'll find it in Revelation chapter 9. Now, you are... Because he is identified there in two separate languages, and as the son of perdition, but as a Babdon in the Hebrew tongue and a Apollyon in the Greek tongue, both mean destroyer, which is Satan's main name. He will destroy if we give him the opportunity. Nancy from Washington, I have heard a pastor state the only way you know you have been saved is if you speak in tongues. He teaches when you receive the Holy Spirit, you will speak in tongues. If you do not, you are not saved. What are your thoughts on this? Well, I have to disagree with him. In the first place, in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, the word unknown tongues means that it is in the Greek tongue. It means a language you were not born with. A foreign language you were not born with. For what purpose? To take the word of God. Not with jabber, but with understanding, so that people can understand. He said, if you do not have that language in your mind, if you're not bilingual where you can take that language there, you better take an interpreter with you, or they won't even know when to say amen, and you'll be like a horn playing without harmony. It won't make any sense to them. That's just common sense. Now, probably what he's referring to is the Pentecostal tongue. And he shows his ignorance. Because you will not find the term unknown connected with the Pentecostal tongue. It's just the opposite. The beauty of the Pentecostal tongue in Acts chapter 2 is that it came out clearly and plainly, not jabber, in every language of the world. Whatever your language was, if you were Chinese, you heard it in Chinese. And if you heard it in Japanese, you were Japanese. And so English, Spanish, Spaniards. So it all comes out. That's why it's called cloven. Man can't do it. It is the Holy Spirit that does it. And it does not happen until we're delivered up before the false Messiah, when both sons and daughters will speak through him. But it is good to be bilingual. It is good to learn another language to deliver God's word to a people that need to hear it. That's the beauty of Paul's work. But I mean no disrespect, and I'm not judging your man there, but he doesn't know what he's talking about, I'm sorry to say. Melinda from Louisiana. What does the Bible say about it is okay to sue someone if you lend money to that and now they refuse to pay you back? Well, you know, the Bible does insist that if we're dealing with Christians, that you go to another Christian and ask them to intercede. And if that doesn't do it, you go to the church and get somebody to arbitrate that both of you can trust. And because it's better, rather than paying a bunch of lawyers to where it will cost you more than what the damage was to begin with. But if you loan somebody money and they refuse to pay it back, period, then they're not a Christian. So you can sue them. Biblically, you can sue them. So that's your choice. Herminia from California. Thank you for your teaching. I've learned so much and I'm studying with you. But Sunday I asked my first lady, did she believe in the rapture? And she said yes, but it's in the word rapture is not in the Bible. So I asked her, two are in the field and one is taken and one is left. Which one do you want to be, the first one taken or the one left? And she said, the first one taken. And I said, God comes at the seventh trump, not the sixth. And the first one taken is taken by Antichrist. And most everybody I ask, they want to be taken as the first one. Well, Herminia, that's unfortunately lack of teaching and scholarship in this world. Because a child, if they'll take Matthew 24 and Mark 13 and read it carefully. The subject is, by Christ teaching, the false Christ shall come. Not maybe. He shall come first. And if they tell you he's here, there, or yon, don't believe it. And then in Matthew 24, it says one, two will be in the field. Netly, who's the first one taken? By Antichrist. So, you're awakening to a real truth that some teaching can be rather dangerous to certain people. Barbara from Georgia. I have attended a church with my family since 2000. I feel very uncomfortable going to this church now because of the teaching. I also live with my family and I am concerned about what they will do to our relationship since they are very active there. After watching you and following you through the scripture, I can no longer attend that church, especially the way they celebrate Easter with the bunnies and eggs and so forth. They don't even know about Cain and Abel, their births, plus Adam's genealogy. I can't understand how preachers miss that part of the scripture. Please excuse my spelling. I'm 75, and I never did know how to spell. Well, I think you're doing real good. You're very welcome for the program. We enjoy bringing it to you. You know, family is family, and I always like to protect family if it's at all possible. And where you live with them, be very cautious. It's possible if God has placed a conviction on you, you have to listen to God. I believe what I teach. I think that God directs his elect what they should do and what they should not do. So you are the one that must make that decision. But thank you for knowing truth and recognizing truth. But do love your family. And maybe that by living that life, you can set an example for them. Mark from Nebraska. Question, does the word woe in 5:8 mean a condition of grief or condition brought, Isaiah 5:8, brought on by sin? We live in rural Nebraska and are aware of the United Nations policy, Agenda 21, that has been picked up by our present government to relocate rural folks to public housing projects in the city. Our concern is, do we resist this move if it should come, or if we do not, if we would let God fault us as sinners? We're not going to let that happen. The American people are a free people. We're not going to allow our government, we'll get rid of whatever government we've got if they try to let the United Nations take over this nation. We're not going to, the American people, as an old Marine, as an old combat Marine, I can guarantee you the American people would not stand for that. And we're just not going to let it happen, so don't waste too much time worrying about it. We're a nation of the people, by the people, and for the people. And I thank God for that. Donna from North Carolina. Question, have you ever thought about publishing a Bible that actually explains in footnotes exactly what the scriptures and manuscripts have to say? Are there any Bibles printed that that bring these points out? The King James, the Companion Bible is what I recommend because of the appendix and because of the aids it gives you. But sometime if I ever come to the age where I decide to retire, I might do that. But at this present time, in teaching God's Word every day of the week, being your weekly pastor 6 days a week and taking care of our conversation on every other weekend, I'm pretty well tied down for now. And with the technology that we have going around the world at this time and being able to communicate openly, then kind of that's the way God has led us to do at this time. But when I get ready to retire, I might just do that. Thank you. Edna from Michigan. I enjoy your teaching. You explain the Bible so well. Thank you for that. I've learned a lot from your teaching. I have a question about women preachers in the pulpit. Because, explain, I know you say you don't judge, but I would like to know, is it right or wrong? Well, if God calls somebody to preach, I'm not going to get in their way. I am a student of God's Word, and I know that where it says a woman should be silent, the word silent in the Greek is chatter. Men should not chatter. Women should not chatter. Children should not chatter in church. But there were many women teachers in church. Huldah in the Old Testament was head of the God's University of Teaching Bible. She was the head mistress of the University of Teachers. So you can't say women are not supposed to teach. And Nathan had four virgin daughters. There wasn't some man helping them teach because they were all virgins. And they were all prophetess. God used them. God's going to use whomever he chooses. I know sometimes man would like to limit. It makes it real easy to say, women should stay in their place. Well, where's their place? It's where God puts them. there's been some fantastic women in the Bible. And I want to tell you something. When Paul signs off on many of his salutations, if you understand the Greek masculine, feminine, then you realize there was more women helping him than there were men in the church. So you want to be real careful, and I always kind of believe in letting God lead. If God chooses somebody and they have the ability, hey, more horsepower to them. Way to go. Latonya from Indiana, what would you say would be good to read from our Father's Word to help me and my family get through with a loved one, our dad, slowly breaking down mind and body when you know time is coming soon? Thank you for all your family, and God bless you and your family and staff. Well, thank you. I appreciate that. Well, you know, growing old is part of the transition to being with our Father. I would recommend Ecclesiastes chapter 12, read up where it says, hey, you know, when we get older, the teeth don't grind as good as they used to, our hearing's not what it used to be, and when that silver cord parts, naturally, the clay pot is going to break because our clay bodies are fragile. They're perishable. And when a body is perishable, it's going to die. And to die is a process of living, the eternal life. So he's going to be with the Lord very soon when that time comes. And it's also a time to rejoice. And I know we miss. I know we don't like to give up. No one can understand what it is like to lose a mate that you've been with for many, many years. It's like losing part of yourself. But then when you take what you believe in as the way it should be, that's where we all look forward to, is being with the Lord Jesus Christ, then pray for him, with him, and enjoy having him as long as you can in a natural way, and God bless you all. But I would read that, and I would also read 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 7 through 8 in chapter 5, where to be absent from this body is present with the Lord. Even Paul wanted that to come to pass. He didn't rush it, and it would be a sin to rush, but that's what we look forward to. And then, of course, the old standby is 1 Corinthians 10:13. God's not going to put more on you than you all can handle real well, and being Christians, you'll do fine. He's going to be with the Father. Okay, Barbara from Florida. My name is Barbara. Thank you for all that your hard work. Thank you. Question. Revelations number 17, chapter 2, verse 17. What is the white stone and what is its meaning? I'll give you a new name and a new white stone written. That word in the Greek, stone, is the equivalent and sister word to Revelation chapter 13, verse 18, where it says you have the ability to count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man. The word count means to recognize. And what it means is God's going to give you the knowledge to be able to count, recognize, or understand who the false Christ is, and to oppose him, to stand against him. That's the beauty of that wonderful verse, chapter 2, verse 17. He even says in that verse, I think that's even more than the stone, he gives you the manna. And what is this new manna? It's the truth. God gives us that manna to teach his word, to go into the depths. That when it's time, God always gives us the scripture we need. And that's God's manna. And it comes from him. And what a blessing it is. Tony from California. What does God say about people that manipulate others through kidnapping, rape, and incest? Well, you know, we quoted Deuteronomy chapter 23 today. Let's quote Deuteronomy chapter 22, verse 25. It's a law. If a man find a girl by herself and force her, then kill him. Okay. That's God's orders. Do him in. And then in verse 26, it will say, this is the same sin as murder. The penalty for rape is the same penalty as is for murder. Well, why would father want to kill them? Well, understand our father. He wants them up there so that he can give them a trial, all right? And that's his right and his will and his place. And that's our father. And those things would cease happening among us. That's the whole purpose. And I'm out of time. Hey, I love you all because you enjoy studying our Father's Word chapter by chapter, verse by verse. You know, when you study His Word, it makes His day. And when you make His day, boy, is He going to make yours. You make your own choices, and I hope your choice is to love Him and to follow Him. We are brought to you by your tithes and offerings. If we have helped you, you help us keep coming to you. Once you do that, you bless God. He will always bless you. Now, listen to me good. Most important, I want you to stay in His Word every day. In His Word is a good day, even with trouble. You know why? Because Jesus, Yeshua, He is the living Word.
Hearing God's Word with understanding will change your life. We hope you have enjoyed studying God's Word here.